This episode is brought to you by Atlassian. Atlassian software like Jira, Confluence, and Trello help power global collaboration for all teams so they can accomplish everything that's impossible alone. Because individually we're great, but together we're so much better. Learn how to unleash the potential of your team at Atlassian.com. Atlassian.com. Atlassian. Tap the banner or visit this episode's page to learn more.
This episode is brought to you by Cars.com. When you add your car to your garage on Cars.com, you'll unlock access to real-time insights into how much your car is worth. Plus, view its historical and projected value to decide when to sell. So when the time is right, you can secure an instant offer from a local dealership or sell it yourself on Cars.com. Start tracking your car's value with your garage on Cars.com.
Let's roll, baby. Welcome in a jam-packed Thursday, 1st April Thursday show here of East Coast Bias right here on FanDuel TV. Of course, for all of our friends on the Ringer Gambling Show feed, boys are back by popular demand. We got a lot to get to. We have Final Fours to break down. The men's, the ladies, a lot of juice, a lot of sizzle on Saturday and on Sunday. Glad Caitlin Clark actually made me a couple of bucks. Maybe I got to turn in my men's handicapping card and stick strictly to the ladies. Just saying, as we welcome in Joe House, Raheem Palmer, yours truly, JJ Johnson-Stremski. Boys, we'll get to all the basketball. We'll get to the return of Joel Embiid. We'll get to some early season baseball storylines maybe to monitor. But let's begin with this. Football news. Stephon Diggs, longtime Buffalo Bill wide receiver. A guy who helped transform Josh Allen and take him to a different level as a quarterback. He is now a former member of the Buffalo Bills. He's been disgruntled. There is no surprise. There was some tea leaves dropped on Tuesday that this could be a possibility. But we see Stephon Diggs. Yes, his declining play in the second half, but big name, big reputation. He's on his way to Houston. The Bills get a pick in 2025. And there's a lot to break down here. House, let's start from a Houston perspective. I think it's fair to say the Texans are looking at this window. They're saying, hey, C.J. Stroud, awesome rookie year. We are not paying C.J. Stroud big money for the next couple of seasons. Let's go get this thing. Let's go make a run at this thing. And they have been very, very aggressive in free agency, the trade market, Joe Mixon, Stephon Diggs. I love what the Texans are doing. I don't know how much Diggs has left in the tank, but for a team in a position like the Texans, this, my friend, makes sense.
I mean, you said it, JJ, and we all share the sentiment. If you go into the FanDuel Sportsbook and look at the Houston Texans win total at 9.5, already juiced up to -134 on the over. And I look at their schedule, I get to 10 wins without trying too hard. Now, I just want to convey my admiration for the organization righting itself, righting the ship very quickly. And, you know, they should be knocking on wood down there to make sure that, you know, the good fortune continues. But it's very encouraging if you're a Houston fan to see them recognize the window. It's the modern NFL. You have a rookie quarterback. He showed himself to be in the upper echelon of the league. You have to capitalize, and that is by putting a bunch of assets around him, Dream.
Yeah, I love what the Houston Texans did this offseason. They fortified the defense. You add Stephon Diggs. You add Joe Mixon. They did everything that you're supposed to do when you have a stud quarterback on a rookie deal. Now, one thing I will say is that Stephon Diggs probably isn't the same guy that he is.
You're not dropping a Larry Holmes status on us, Raheem. I didn't know if we were going to get that out of you. You're not willing to go that far. Okay.
Yeah, I'm not going to go that he's Larry Holmes status, but he clearly declined last year. You're talking about a guy who caught just 37 of 63 targets for 349 yards and one score over the final eight games. So there's a reason that Buffalo wanted to get rid of him. That said, I do think he does improve this Houston Texans team.
Fair reaction, overreaction, Raheem. As of right now, and I know it's early April, are the Houston Texans the second best team in the AFC and the biggest threat to the Kansas City Chiefs? Yay or nay?
Well, I felt like they were probably the biggest threat to the Kansas City Chiefs a couple of weeks ago. I don't know if everybody remembers, but a couple of weeks ago, I gave everybody the Houston Texans 25-1 to win the Super Bowl. I gave everybody the Houston Texans 11-1 to win the AFC. I gave everybody C.J. Stroud 11-1 to win MVP. I gave everybody the Houston Texans plus 150 to win their division. Now, the odds have drastically declined, and I don't think there's any value there. But I do think this is a dangerous team.
House, you on board with that? Texans, second best team right now in the AFC?
No, but I agree with all of the recommendations that Dream laid out, because at those prices, that's a very engaging kind of proposition. Those prices are gone. I mean, we still have the Bengals to talk about. We still have the Ravens, even though they're in a little bit of a transition mode. No, I don't. I mean, you know, I'm not ready to give up on the Bills for them.
I'm ready to give up on the Bills.
Wow, okay. I'm glad you guys got to this. You guys kind of buried my next transition that I was going to get to. I'm with you on Cincinnati, House, because I know Burrow can go into Arrowhead and beat Mahomes. I've seen it. The other quarterbacks, no knock on C.J. Stroud, no knock on Josh Allen in big games, in big moments. I haven't seen it. But Raheem, it's interesting. You're out on the Bills. House is not willing to go that far. Buffalo's lost a lot this offseason. However, you look at the FanDuel odds at the moment, they're still slight, ever so slight, favorites to win the division. It's Buffalo. Miami is a smidge behind them. And then you got the Jets lurking at 240 or 250. Forget about the Patriots. They're going to maybe be a top or bottom three team within the NFL. Raheem, my counter to that would be they still have Josh Allen, and they've won the division now, what, 2020, 2021, 2022, 2023, each of the last 4 years. Why out on Buffalo? Explain.
Because I am in on the Jets, and then also
in
I
on think the New Jets. Are you sure?
Yes. You sure? I am in on the Jets. Yes. I'm in on the Jets. And I still think Miami is a formidable threat. And I also think New England is a team that's going to improve. So I think that division is stronger than it has been. And I think when you look at the cap situation in Buffalo, this is a clear step back year for this team. So I am out on
Buffalo.
The
one thing I'd say, though, House, to me now, Josh Allen is at a point in his career. You know, when Stephon Diggs came to Buffalo, he needed to be elevated. He needed that help. I think he's shown, listen, maybe not in January to some degree against Mahomes, but he's shown in the regular season that he can take a group of guys and take them to a different level. I mean, to his credit, he played brilliantly down the stretch last year when the Bills were 500. The Bills basically had to run the table and they went and they won the AFC East. I expect them to be very aggressive in the draft, going and getting themselves a younger, more dynamic, potentially number one wide receiver, and you still have Dalton Kincaid. Maybe this is Dolphin PTSD because I've seen the Bills absolutely destroy my team in any game that matters over the last 4 years. I still think until I see somebody go and knock out Buffalo in the AFC East, I still think at the end of the day, how's they going to be there? They're going to win this division.
Well, JJ, you use the most important word, which is run. Remember, the Bills completely re-racked that offense mid-season. They pivoted in terms of offensive coordinator and their approach, and their guy Woods got tons of touches, and it became an offense that marginalized Stephon Diggs, and they stopped getting vertical. They emphasized tight end play. They emphasized the run, and that proved to be a pretty successful formula. I mean, they were literally within a score of Kansas City. They had every chance to beat the Chiefs in the playoffs once again. But I will say I uttered a bad word. Hopefully the good folks at FanDuel, I didn't say it out loud, but I'm on the Jets. And Dream stole it.
You guys
from
are
me.
On the Jets.
I can't
listen,
believe it.
I understand from a talent standpoint why you're getting in on the Jets, guys. I really do, because their defense is terrific. We didn't talk about this because it happened late last week. They added Hassan Reddick from the Philadelphia Eagles to put with Quinnen Williams. to put with Sauce Gardner. They got a lot of star power on that defense. They add Mike Williams. We'll see how many games he plays. They added your buddy Tyron Smith, another guy. We'll see how many games he plays. And their position, Raheem, I think in the top 10 of the draft to go and get whoever it might be. Maybe it's another receiver. Maybe it's Brock Bowers. They should, in theory, be a better team. But I'm just going to remind you guys, 40-some-year-old quarterback, wasn't good 2 years ago, blew out his Achilles, and Robert Saleh is the head coach. That's all I'm going to say. I get the argument you're both going to make, but I just want to counter with all of that, okay?
I'm just going to say this. He's going to be 94 Joe Montana this year.
Ooh, so you're really buying a big year out of the Jets. And last year, you know what's interesting, Raheem? You were not particularly bullish on the Jets, which is interesting.
I wasn't, but I just think this is a bounce back year from Aaron Rodgers. I truly do. I think they have all the pieces that they need in order for him to be successful. So I'm buying.
And listen, House, from a divisional bet standpoint, you're getting good odds with the Jets, man.
So you're beating me to it. This is what I want to do. I'm not saying that I'm going to wager on the Jets to, you know, win the Super Bowl, but at plus 240 to win this very gettable division where both the Dolphins and the Bills are in kind of a transition. And I think the Dolphins especially might have it a tough season upcoming. They lost a lot in free agency. 9.5 wins. The over right now is available at minus 105. See, that's a good price based on mainly for me, this is a wager on the offensive line improvement. And Dream just mentioned the 94 Joe Montana. I don't think you have to go that far back. Go to the Denver era with Peyton Manning, 36-year-old Peyton Manning.
Or even so with Tampa and Tom Brady.
Sure.
I mean, either one.
Sure.
Either one.
Yeah. Recent now. But this is really, to me, a reflection on when we sit down it come August and look at the roster on both sides of the ball, and you hinted at it, JJ, that the Jets are going to grade out well because they did build talent. And the other aspect for the Jets, their schedule. Because of how poorly they played last year, they have a schedule that's commensurate with you know, that kind of, they get the Patriots twice. They also get to play the Titans. They have Denver. They have Minnesota that doesn't have a quarterback right now. And you expect, you know, they also have Seattle who's on the way down. So you expect them also maybe to split with the Bills and the Dolphins. And all of a sudden you're right in the neighborhood to get yourself up to that 9-10 win threshold.
See, I think you're going to see all three of those teams in the mix, all three of those teams vying for playoff spots. Again, 40-something-year-old quarterback, and don't lose sight of Robert Saleh as a head coach. He's when I'm talking about coaches in the league right now that I have on the trust meter, he's definitely, Raheem, in the bottom five of that trust meter. So I just got
to
make...
To be fair, why don't you trust
him? Because teams are constantly undisciplined all the time. They do not make adjustments. They get off to terrible starts. Now, how much of that is due to the fact that their offense is just simply inept? Maybe I'm being a little harsh, but in watching a lot of their games, and I've seen them now coach, what? It's 2021, 2-3. It's going to be his fourth year. I've seen every game he's coached. He has not impressed me in the least. The only thing I can say about him is he gets his team likes him, and they play for him. That's all I got.
My biggest thing is that they've won 7 games each of the last 2 seasons, and they had probably the worst quarterback in the league.
Well, you're on to that. And we'll see if old man Rodgers can be enough to get you to 9.5 wins. So it seems like the boys giving you a little spoiler of things to come here this football season. I will not be joining them. I'll be abstaining. I'm not going to bet the under, but I think I'll be abstaining from that one. You guys are getting on board with the Jets. I'll make a mental note of that. It's the Jets. Just let you guys know. Longest playoff drought. Aaron Rodgers, Robert Saleh. We'll see. All right, we got a lot more to do. Final four. Men's Saturday, ladies Sunday, going to be a lot of fun. Will we have some competitive basketball games? That's a $1 million question. Can somebody actually cover a number against UConn? Stay tuned. We'll come right back.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
All right, welcome back. Let's get to these final four games. You will have UConn and Alabama in the night session. You will have Purdue and the unlikeliest of final four teams out of a Power Five conference. NC State, who was 17-14, had to win five consecutive games in the ACC tournament. They were trailing to Louisville, who had like six wins all season in their first game on Tuesday. Yet the big fella DJ Burns and NC State are playing in the final four against the Purdue Boilermakers. So, House, let's start with the UConn angle of this, because they are trying to do something we haven't seen since Billy Donovan's Florida Gators. They're trying to go back-to-back. We talked about this on our Monday pod, the idea of this being the year, potentially, of the back-to-back. We'll see if UConn follows suit on that. But the insane thing about UConn, if you go back to last year in this tournament, House, if you've been betting UConn blindly, think about it. Round of 64, 32, 16, 8, 4 championship. 64, 32, 16. They have covered 10 consecutive NCAA tournament games. 10. When is this streak going to end?
Not Saturday. I mean, this is the thing with this UConn program. And you just hit it. I saw the same stat. Since 1979, when seeding was introduced into this tournament, the only team to win 10 consecutive against the spread and outright is UConn. They have an incredible record in the tournament. They cover by double digits more than half of the time. And this particular version of them, it reminds me a little bit of the back-to-back Florida teams, right? Where you just had talent at a variety of positions, and they could beat you a variety of different ways. They could play slow. They can play fast. They can play physical. They can play finesse. They got all the bases covered. This is it for Alabama, as far as I'm concerned. They had the benefit of going up against some teams and having those teams shoot the ball poorly. It doesn't matter with UConn. The only intrigue that's left with UConn is how high is this number going to go come Saturday morning.
Yeah, I just don't know how you can bet against this UConn team. They've been holding teams throughout the tournament to 80 points per under possessions. When a defense is playing that well, when you can go on a 30-0 run, I just don't know how you step in front of that train. I think it's UConn or pass. And honestly, I think you just have to pass on this game.
I don't know how you bet Bama. You nailed it, Raheem. Listen, I want to, full disclosure, bet Bama. I want to root for them. I'm sick and tired of UConn. You know, House, it's interesting. I see where you're going from a talent and a skill position standpoint in the Florida comparison. I guess the only difference to me is you saw the big players on UConn's team last year, say, sayonara. So this is a lot of the guys who did not have major roles on that team. Some of them did, but you're seeing a new crop of UConn player kind of emerge and be a part of this thing. And they've been maybe even more dominant than what they were a year ago. I think if you're going to play this game, guys, the total, it's at 160.5. And I know Alabama has a knack for hitting a ton of threes. We saw that, Raheem, in their game that they played against Clemson in the Elite Eight. They were just draining threes, shot after shot after shot. I know they like to play fast. UConn's one of those teams, they can play fast. They can play slow. They could do it a variety of different ways. I just think if you think UConn covers this number, they probably slow down pace a little bit. So I'm fairly confident in looking at this number and saying, all right, even if you don't want to go and lay 11.5, I think it's going under 160.5. Does your model put it that way or no?
Well, I don't have a college basketball
model.
There you
go. I'm jumping the gun. I thought you had a model for everything.
Yeah.
I thought you had a model for cricket, to be honest. You never know.
But I mean, one thing I will say is that Illinois, one of the top offenses in college basketball, we know Terrence Shannon has been absolutely dominant. They only scored 72 points per 100 possessions last week. And the pace was about, they played to a pace of 71 possessions. So I told you guys on Monday, I like the under. It was 161. It's down to 160 and a half. And I don't think that's low enough. So I would play the under here.
How should you play the other?
I will put something on that. I have to have some action on UConn here. I looked into the alt spread market and I have an alt spread parlay that I'm playing to try and build something because the other leg of this involves NC State and Purdue. And I know we're going to talk about this game, but I have UConn on an alt spread down to 8.5 because all they do is beat everybody by double digits. So I have to lay, you know, some juice, but when you put it into the parlay, you get yourself up to plus odds on it.
When in doubt, you're not going to mess around with UConn. Totally understandable. Now, the other game you're going to have, it will be NC State, who has been a tournament darling, against a Purdue team that is very relieved to finally break through. Matt Painter has finally gotten to the Final Four. Edie was very emotional after the game, beating a very spunky, very tough Tennessee team. And they're a considerable favorite as well against the Wolfpack. Now, you might be able to see 9 in the market. You might see 8.5. You might see 9.5. This is going to fluctuate, I think, a little bit as we get closer to tip-off. House, I think Purdue's going to win the game. Let me make that clear. I think NC State's going to give them hell. I can't go against the juju that I've seen with this team where they are scratching, they are clawing. You look at some of the teams they've beaten. I mean, they whooped Marquette. They whooped Duke in the second half. The games weren't even close. They were able to deal with Texas Tech. I mean, you could argue the toughest game they've had in this NCAA tournament was against Oakland, for goodness sakes, in around 32. I'm seeing all those points. I can't imagine that Final Four Saturday is just going to be Chalk City where both teams win by 15-plus points. To me, Purdue is the team that has far more trouble. And I like the fact that DJ Burns, I know Edie's a handful, and I know he can get anybody into foul trouble, and he doesn't foul. But that big man for NC State, he knows that finish around the rack. He's got soft hands. He's an unbelievable passer. I think he goes out with a bang. House, I'm taking the Wolfpack. I think they covered a number.
Yeah, JJ, I share your view on this, and there isn't anything you can do in terms of drilling down into advanced metrics to come up with an explanation for how successful NC State has been. What they've done is found this heater. They believe. And if we could find the advanced metric for belief, that's the one where they're number one in the nation right now. So the way I'm playing this, based on the way that you just articulated it, go ahead and give me NC State at a plus double digit number. I can alt spread them up to plus.
Oh, this is the alt spread that you're referencing. You're fooling around with this. Okay.
It's a parlay. Okay. So I have NC State up to 12.5 because I agree with the idea that ultimately I think Purdue will win, but I do think it's going to be tight. And so I have NC State plus 12.5 matched up with UConn minus 8.5 and the FanDuel Sportsbook parlay combobulator plus 132. That's a way that fits my mind's eye. You know what I mean?
I might ride that with you. In fact, that's not a might. That's a will. I will be riding with you. Done. I'm in. Raheem, we're out on the Wolfpack. What do we think about this game?
So the thing that concerns me is that NC State is not a deep team. And we know Zach Edey, he tends to draw a lot of fouls. This is not a team where if you get into foul trouble, I think they can be into trouble. And you got to remember, Purdue was just 3 of 15 from behind the arc last week against Tennessee, and they still covered that number and won by 6. If the threes are falling, Purdue could just send this team home early. So I don't know if I'm going to play Purdue at 9.5, but it just feels like this is going to be a chalky tournament. So that's where I'm leaning.
Well, and let me say this. If we get UConn and Purdue on Monday night, I think Purdue is live in the game. I do. They got a lot of veterans. They got Edie. And you hit on something that I think is important here, Raheem. This game on Saturday, really the way the officials let this one go, it may determine whether or not you get that cover or not. If you get a game in which they're letting the boys play a little bit, they're letting them bang down low, because of the lack of depth that you're going to find from an NC State perspective, Yeah, I think it's more likely. Hey, they're calling it tight. Advantage Purdue. If they're letting them play, advantage NC State. Listen, NC State's been good to me. I'm riding one last time. I don't think they're going to win the game, but I'm just not going to come on here and give you both favorites. That's no fun. Now, let's get to the ladies, guys. The ladies' games. House, I was into them on Monday, man. I had the baseball going. Now, I'm not going to pretend that I am some expert. Listen, I mean, when it comes to all of this, you know, we're all a bunch of morons when it really comes down to it, except for Raheem. Raheem, I'll put you in a different stratosphere. Us knuckleheads could go elsewhere. House, you got Caitlin Clark against UConn. And that line, I almost feel as if they're begging you to bet Iowa laying 2.5. And I can't believe I'm saying this because normally I don't know much about the ladies' game except for the fact that UConn is dominant and that UConn usually wins year after year. Dude, you give me 2.5 with UConn? I'm taking it, man. I'm taking it. I'm going against the LeBron of the women's college tournament, or Steph Curry, I should say. The Steph Curry of the women's college tournament. But give me UConn. Let's be different.
I understand your perspective on this, and I'm not going to argue with you. I'm just going to observe that the women's games Monday night, the results of the broadcast, over 12 million viewers.
That's so great. Good for them, man. Wow. Fantastic. And I was one of them.
That's right.
Count me in.
Now, I'm not going to advance a conspiracy theory. I'm just going to observe out loud that an Iowa-South Carolina matchup in the women's national title game might garner north of that $12 million.
Because that would be on Tuesday night, too.
I think, right. Yeah. Yes. And, you know, so it would be on an island, all of America watching. America clearly loves Caitlin Clark. That's the only reason that I will say to you, because I will say, thankfully, I invested in UConn Monday night. I came on our podcast on Monday and made an impassioned case for LSU over Iowa. And by golly, LSU did everything that I expected them to do. They were more physical. They out-rebounded the hell out of the basketball. They got nearly 15 more shots up than Iowa. The problem is nobody can make a bucket. And on top of that, they thought they could single team Caitlin Clark. I'll leave those complaints to the side and just say, great job by UConn. They are exactly six deep. And if any of those young ladies get in foul trouble, their bench is in trouble. You could see they have an all-star team sitting on their bench in injury wraps. They have an unbelievable team, but a whole bunch of injuries. So I just like the idea. And I will tell you, I went ahead and did this as well. If you play Iowa minus the 2.5 and put that together with South Carolina on the money line, minus 101 on the FanDuel Sportsbook, even money for the game that I think the nation would like to see.
Interesting. Raheem, any interest or will you be backing any of these ladies games on Sunday night?
I'm probably not going to be backing any of these teams, but I think if I'm just looking at pure power ratings, it feels like this line is wrong. It feels like Connecticut should be favored in this game. So I probably would fade the public if I had to do anything and take Connecticut plus 2.5 or Connecticut on the money line plus 126 right now on FanDuel Sportsbook. But I don't have a strong opinion.
Wow. So I'm getting your blessing on this UConn play. I'm getting your blessing on the UConn play. Listen, great thing for college basketball this weekend. You got the men doing their thing on Saturday. And I love the fact that they have these games Sunday in the evening. Job well done, ESPN. Do not bury them at 2 or 3 in the afternoon. Going to have a nice weather day for the first time in forever in New York. So maybe I'll actually be outside, get a run in, get a little tennis in, watch some baseball. And then at night, I can kind of hunker down and get ready for all the festivities with the ladies. Then Caitlin Clark taking on UConn. I mean, that's one hell of a Final Four storyline, House. That's good, man. What was it, 12 million watching those games the other night?
12.3 million. I will say this. I don't want to steal his thunder. This is a Cousin Sal special. One of the things that he's been pointing us towards is a UConn parlay, and I don't know if you want to do it, you know, UConn on the money line with the women parlayed with UConn on the men.
Oh, the UConn, UConn.
Yeah, UConn, the
double.
UConn double.
The double whammy.
Yes, exactly. Stores Connecticut in the house. If you want to just do the money lines together, that's plus 154. UConn to beat Iowa outright on the women's side, and the men just have to win against Alabama, plus 154 in the FanDuel Sportsbook.
Let's take this a step further, because right now on FanDuel Sportsbook, they have Final Four specials, and they had the Connecticut men's and women's basketball teams to win both the 2024 national championship that pays plus 1130 right now.
Wow, that's a good number, because I guess they're assuming that the winner of Iowa-UConn would be a pretty big dog against South Carolina. That's got to be why we're getting that, Raheem, you know?
Yeah, that's exactly what it is, because, I mean, you look at South Carolina right now, they're like a 12-1 favorite against. So, I mean, it's South Carolina at the end of the day.
Hey, go big or go home. That's what we do here on East Coast Bias. All right, we come back, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls. Joel Embiid back for the Philadelphia 76ers. Play. Does that change your potential outlook of Philadelphia? Is it maybe worth pursuing some buy low opportunities on the Sixers over the next few weeks and come playoff time? We'll dive in. We got a lot more to do. Come right back.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Welcome back. So Raheem, your boy Joel Embiid, back in action for the Philadelphia 76ers on Tuesday night. A Philly come-from-behind win against the Oklahoma City Thunder. Embiid chips in 20-plus points as a part of the Philly special team. Where did you stand watching your buddy back in action, showing you the sign, going all wilt? Hey, I'm back. Instead of the point total, it's I'm back. How'd you feel?
Well, the one thing that stood out to me was that we've been talking for weeks about how NBA referees, they're calling the game much different. That's been the theme of the second half of the year. Well, Joel Embiid comes back and gets 12 free throws. So while the rest of the league is being officiated like they're appearing in an episode of Oz, Joel Embiid is getting a pre-February 2024 whistle. And that changes things, because if this guy is going to come back on this Sixers team with Tyrese Maxey and the rest of those role players, he's going to get to the line at will, they have a real shot of coming out of the East.
Wow, so, real shot. So would you invest right now, Raheem, in a Philadelphia 76er to win the East ticket or a Philadelphia 76er to go to the win the championship ticket? Would you do that?
I think the big thing for me is I want to see who they're matched up with. So if they're the eighth seed, I have trouble investing in
You don't
them
want
to
them anywhere near the Celtics in the first round.
Exactly. But if they're playing anybody else, I think they could beat anybody else in the East. I think they could beat Milwaukee. I think they could beat the Cavaliers in round one. And if Joel Embiid could just play himself into shape, I truly believe this team has a shot. Now, they're +31-1 at FanDuel right now. You could take a shot on that, but I think rolling it over might be the better look.
Well, and the one thing I would say, House, if you wait, right? I don't think the number will get that much worse for Philadelphia, even if they end up in, you know, a 2-7 situation. Like, it's possible you may have to fire on that before they play in a playing game. Let's say they're the 7, they're playing, I don't know, Indiana is an 8, or they're playing Miami, which is a game, by the way, I would not like from a Philly standpoint. But, you know, it's one of those situations where if you fire right before the play-in, I don't think you need to take it right now. I think you could wait a couple weeks if that's something you want to do.
I am in the same place that I was on Monday on this show with you gentlemen. I don't think that there is any reason to invest in Philadelphia. And what the version of Joel Embiid that we saw this week against Oklahoma City, I mean, he had no business whatsoever being on the floor for 30 minutes. I don't know what the Sixers are doing. The dude was gassed. Nick Nurse, at the end of that game, said that he was holding his breath as Joel was driving, you know, with an end of game possession. They were down a point. What are we doing here? The franchise, they are not going anywhere this season. What is the point of putting him in harm's way? He can't play 30 minutes. He shouldn't play 15 minutes. And it took, I'm glad you mentioned this, a trifling NBA referee cook him up special to put him on the free throw line to get him the breather that he needed. Now, was it a nationally televised game on TNT this week? Yes, it was. Wow, I wonder why we got a... Now, it's fine. It's fine. There's nothing else right now other than a couple of franchises fighting for their playoff lives that's of interest in the NBA. And these injury situations are driving Raheem out of his mind.
Yeah, Raheem, how are you going to figure out this 100 every day? When you got to fire, when are you firing these picks in it? Like 8, 9 in the morning? Like what's the formula here for you with this 100?
So we try to get them out by noon. So I'm typically up early just reading the injury reports. But there's an injury report every single hour of the day when it comes to the NBA. So we're going to figure it out. But House, I got a little rebuttal.
Let me hear it.
What if this is an alternate universe? And I say that. No, hear me out. What is the problem with Joel Embiid? He always gets injured during the postseason. Well, this is the first year where he's gotten injured.
Well, he has gotten injured in the past, but it was a very early injury, not an injury that happened in like April in a round one series against Brooklyn. Yes, Raheem.
So now he's coming into the postseason rested, and he could spend the next 2 weeks trying to get himself into shape. And by the postseason starts, he's healthy.
You're asking for a lot. you use the word rested. That's a polite way of calling him out completely out of shape. And he would say it himself. I mean, you do have to live in an alternate reality, alternate universe to get to the idea of Joel Embiid. Look, the calendar is on his side. I just don't know why he would play more than 15 minutes a game. He needs to get in shape. If we see an in-shape version of Joel Embiid with these Sixers come playoff time, and we have matchups that are favorable, then sure, I'm willing to be reasonable about it. But that's not the history of Joel Embiid on this team. That's all.
Guys, this came to mind watching the Knicks Heat game yesterday, and I wanted to bring this up on the show. I made a mental note of it. I went through the odds to win the Eastern Conference. Raheem, you hit on it. You have the Cavaliers, the Knicks, the Sixers. They're all in a similar 12-1 type of range to win the conference. Miami is behind those three teams. Do I need to remind everybody that Miami went to the NBA Finals last year? 2 years ago, Miami was in the conference finals. Like, maybe I'm a sucker. Maybe the market is saying, yes, this is what they are. You're wrong. But Raheem, I watched them last night. And I know the Knicks didn't have Anunoby. I know they didn't have Randle. I know they came back, but when they needed to make plays, Rozier hit big shots and they got second and third chances and they won the game. Dude, I'm seeing 17-18-1 staring me in the face to win the conference. I am thinking long and hard about firing. Is that like crazy? I don't think so, right?
I'm struggling with this Miami Heat team. Like, I'm going to be honest with you. This is a team that we know that they can defend. Top 5 in defensive rating, but I'm worried about the scoring. And I just... It's tough for me because their whole identity is that they play possum during the regular season. So you have one set of data for what this team is during the regular season, and then they just flip the script in the postseason. And at some point, like, is that going to continue to happen? I just don't know. And, you know, I like a guy like Jaime Jaquez, but if you look at his shooting splits, like, his shooting splits over the second half of the year have been absolutely terrible. So I just don't know what this team is, and I just need to see it. So I'm not mad at you for firing on them, but I just don't know. Like, I'm going to be honest with you.
House, would you have any interest in firing on that or no?
For sure, yes. And you know, what I'm glad on the one hand that we can't go back and watch this TV show from this time last year. We were sitting in early April that this group of us last year looking at Miami. Oh, Miami.
No, they're cooked.
Yeah, one of the worst 3-point shooting teams.
They were cooked against Chicago.
They were cooked
dead.
Against Chicago. Yeah, exactly. I've learned my lesson. Never discount the Miami Heat under any circumstances, no matter what they show you. As long as those dudes have, if Bam has, you know, two arms and two legs, if Jimmy Butler has two arms and two legs, I honestly, we've talked about it a little bit on here. I think they're better this year. They're deeper this year than last year's team. And we watched it happen last year. Somehow, the entire Miami Heat team could shoot three-pointers come playoff time. One of the worst three-point shooting teams in the entire NBA, all regular season last year, and magically they all get hot at the same time. I don't know how it happened, but it sure did happen, Dream.
Something to think about, yeah. Raheem.
It's definitely something to think about, but I'm at the point where I kind of just need to see it. And I don't know. And I look at the Boston Celtics, to me, they're a team that should rip through the East. Like they really, 59-16. This is a historically great team. And I'm having trouble believing that anybody can beat them. I know I said I'm buying into the Sixers a little bit, but it's the Celtics conference to lose.
Well, it better be for their sake. It better be. All right, we come back. We're a week into the baseball season. Any takeaways? How about my guy, Daddy Soto? I can't wait to see him in person Friday, Yankee Stadium. Might be betting on him to hit a home run. I like the sound of that. We got some best bets coming your way, too, right after this. All right, before we get to some early baseball takeaways and a little bet that I've been firing on and I want to share with everybody here on FanDuel TV, I wanted to get to this Warriors situation and the fading Sacramento Kings. And oh, by the way, we will have an SGP. You want to check that out involving the Golden State Warriors that will be on FanDuel Sportsbook. House, Golden State seems to have figured some things out as far as stabilizing their playoff chances. I don't know if it necessarily means that Golden State now is going to go and make serious noise, but they've done enough here to stabilize where you feel pretty good about the fact that you'll see them in some sort of play-in about two and a half weeks from now. Is there a team, though, we should be looking to fade potentially in the Western Conference, maybe down the stretch?
Yeah, so as this show is going live Thursday morning, you can still get into the book and get these prices. Golden State to make the playoffs, available at +240. The Sacramento Kings, it breaks my heart, to miss the playoffs, available at +138. I think I would make both wagers. And there's a couple of factors. I have been very, very skeptical of these Golden State Warriors. I remain skeptical of them, but I will say this. Welcome to the 2024 NBA regular season, Andrew Wiggins, because his defensive presence, his defensive intensity, the way that he is moving now, their game against the Dallas Mavericks, they ended the Dallas Mavericks win streak this week with a performance at home where they've been very mediocre. I think they're finally 500 at home, the Golden State Warriors, but it was a defensive effort. They held the Dallas Mavericks to 100 total points, and the bench of Golden State. We've been waiting. All of the believers in the Warriors have said, you know, the CP3-led bench should be something. I was really impressed by the way that they handled Dallas. And schedule-wise, if you look at what both Sacramento and Golden State have left in front of them, I think there's a decent chance that Golden State gets to play Sacramento in the first bit of the play-in, and that's going to put them in a very good position to potentially make the playoffs.
Yeah, I really like that one, House. I mean, the biggest thing is, like, Malik Monk is hurt, and that's a big loss for this team. But you look at Sacramento, they have an East Coast road trip coming up against New York, Boston, Brooklyn, Oklahoma City. they got the Pelicans and they got the Suns. The only easy win on that schedule is maybe Portland on the last game day of the regular season. So this is a tough look for the Sacramento Kings and the way that the Warriors are playing right now. I mean, they've been a thorn in my side. Obviously, I thought that the Houston Rockets had a real shot at making the play-in, and they ended that with a five-game win streak. So, like, this is a really good bet, Alex.
I am bummed that our Houston ticket looks dead and buried, Raheem. It was worth a shot. It was such a good number. I thought maybe we were going to bring it into the final week of the regular season. Now I'm not particularly holding my breath. Boys, before we get to best bets, these total base props, I've been dominating. They're fun. Like, you got to be careful with the guys who walk a lot. Like, that to me is like a theory you got to watch for, Raheem. And that's why Soto, I got to chill on Soto total bases because he walks more than anybody. So if you walk, it doesn't count towards a total base. But like, I had Mookie Betts yesterday. It's like, automatic. The guy is like a given to go and get a hit. And all you need him to do is either hit one out of the ballpark or hit two hits or get a double. Boom, away you go. I'm telling you guys, you got to get on these total base props with me with the baseball. They're just too much fun. So, Raheem, week into the year, is there a team moving in the market, like the Yankees, for example, hot start? Is that something you should be leery of from a future standpoint? Like, how do you like gauge like a team getting off to a hot start? Do you pounce because you think you're going to see more of it? Or do you lay off because it's, hey, it's five games in a year. Let's be careful.
Well, I think it is just five games in a year. So you definitely have to be careful. I just think you have to kind of take everything by a case by case basis. And you kind of got to look at the numbers, see who's due for some regression, see who's playing above their heads, because it's always going to be a team who starts slow. It's always going to be a team that starts fast. I mean, you look at the Philadelphia Phillies. They come out against the Atlanta Braves and get smoked. That's a team that we know they're not going to be as bad as they were in the first series against the Braves. They're playing the Braves. So you just kind of got to take everything by a case-by-case basis.
All right, boys, come back. Best bets, weekend, Thursday. East Coast Bias, wrap it up with a bang right after this. Before we say goodbye, best bet time. You got Thursday. You got the weekend of the Final Four. House, I kind of have a feeling where you're going with this, but even if I don't, you got to share. What do we got for best bet?
Well, I laid out on the college basketball side a couple of parlays, both the men and the women, but I'm just going to go ahead and recommend laying into that women parlay. I really love the idea of South Carolina on the money line, Iowa laying the 2.5. If Iowa wins, I think it's going to be by more than a bucket. And that thing pays out very close to even money. And it's really the game out of all the matchups that I want to see the most. UConn-Purdue on the men's side will be fine. But what I really want to see is Caitlin Clark in her swan song against that undefeated South Carolina team.
Raheem, best bet, and you'll have hundreds coming our way all throughout the week. Don't want to forget to plug that. But what do we got for Thursday?
My best bet is I'm going to go with Connecticut, Alabama under 160.5. I mentioned it earlier. This Connecticut defense is incredible. I expect them to hold down Alabama's offense in this game. But you mentioned this on Monday, and I think this was the best bet I've heard in regards to college basketball all week. You can get a college basketball Final Four exacta. I got Connecticut over Purdue. That's plus 100 on FanDuel Sportsbook right now. So I like that.
I like you riding on that because we talked about that on our Monday show. And you're getting plus money. And I think it's the most likely outcome easily that you could have within this Final Four. Now, I do think you'll get there, Raheem. But I think you're going to sweat a little bit. And that's why for my best bet, I'm going with a team that has covered what? 9 consecutive games. They've been as hot as any team in America. One last time, DJ Burns and the NC State Wolfpack cover the number plus the 9.5 against Purdue. You'll get your Connecticut and Purdue, but you're going to have to work for it. That's going to do it for East Coast Bias. For House, Raheem, JJ signing off. Good job by our buddy Stefan. We'll be back Same time next week, we'll have a Masters to get ready for. We'll have the home stretch of the NBA season. I could tell Hal's getting a little emotional, thinking about Augusta, thinking about Amen Corner. Boys are out. We'll see you next week. Be good, everybody.